Okay, so it's 7 o'clock, so let's begin. My name is Lamo, if you've never been to the class before, this is the last session. So let's start with the body of light meditation. So get into your meditation posture. So you have your, the most important thing is to have your back straight. If you're sitting on a chair, try to keep your feet flat on the floor. If you're sitting on a cushion, your legs be crossed. Your hands right on left with thumbs touching or on your knees. Just sitting on your lap. If you have your hands right on left. And then your elbows are away from your torso. Your head is tilted slightly forward. Eyes ahead of you, lightly closed or slightly open, unfocused. And try to relax your jaws, your neck, shoulders. Your tongue is in your sitting on the on your upper palate, behind your front teeth. And you can just focus on your breath. And try to settle your mind from the busyness of getting here. You can create your own personal altruistic motivation for this meditation session on the body of light. Now visualize in the space above your head a sphere of white light, pure, transparent, and formless, and somewhat smaller than the size of your head. Now spend a few minutes concentrating on the presence of the light. Don't worry if it does not appear sharply. It is enough just to feel it is there. Contemplate that the sphere of light represents all universal goodness, love, and wisdom, the fulfillment of your own highest potential. Then visualize that it decreases in size until it is a small, bright sphere about 1 inch in diameter. This small ball of pure white light descends from the top of your head to your heart center. From there it begins to expand once more, slowly spreading to fill your entire body. As it does, all the solid parts of your body dissolve and become light. Your organs, bones, blood vessels, tissue, and skin all become pure, formless, white light. Concentrate on the experience of your body as a body of light. Think that all problems, negativities, and hindrances have completely vanished, and that you have reached a state of wholeness and perfection. Feel serene and joyful. If any thought or distracting object should appear in your mind, let it also dissolve into white light. Okay, does anyone have any questions about this meditation or any of the meditations we've done so far? Any problems? Yes, Hold on just a second. Just wait for the microphone.
Thank you. On the meditation of mind, like the sky or like
yes.
the ocean, does that presume that you have not chosen a meditation object?
Oh, right. If you hadn't, there was something else that you had, chosen as a meditation object, then you would probably not do that. No. Yeah. But this at the beginning, you know, we're just sort of searching. Yes. Okay. So, now what I'd like to do, what I didn't mention last, time, we had talked about two obstacles to meditation, laxity or dullness and excitement. So Geshe-la, this is not in the text in at the FPMP Center, but our teacher Geshe-la Gelug has taught us two meditations as an antidote to those two obstacles. So the first one, this is not a problem right now. It's called the forceful method on how to control the super excited mind. And this kind of mind is the mind that's going after something that's, you're attached to. You know, not an aversion, but it could be something, you could be attached to something that you hate. But this would be too associated with attachment. So let me just explain it to you first, and then we'll do it. So you're going to exhale and inhale slowly, deeply, forcefully, five times. We start with an exhale, and then we inhale, you know, like that, and we count on the inhale. And we do this five times, okay? And then on the final inhalation, we hold our breath. And then we visualize this white, round energy, like sort of like the energy we just talked about. But this one is just a white, round energy going down from the central channel until it reaches four fingers below the navel. We just imagine that. You know, it's going down. And then the white light stops right there. And then and at the same time, you close the lower drawer, and then you visualize a round yellow light coming up and then sitting on just below that white light. And you focus on that while you still have your holding your breath. And you try to hold your breath and this image as long as you can, and then you exhale. So, okay, so exhale, inhale one, exhale, inhale two, long, forcefully, and slowly. No passing out. So just, you know, that's strong, and we do that because this is a very excited mind, so you can do it then. And then at the fifth inhalation, you hold your breath, imagine that light going down from the top of your head down to four fingers below your navel, and at the same time close the lower drawer, and then visualize this round yellow light coming up to that white light. You focus on that while holding your breath as long as you can, and then exhale. Okay? Got it? Okay? All right. So we start with an exhale through your mouth, and then you inhale through your nose. So you go, one, two, 3. Okay, so that was called the forceful method on how to control the super excited mind, one that's running after attachment. And now, if you have a problem with laxity or dullness, you know, for example, you're kind of falling asleep, then we have those antidotes, but then this is called mixing mind with space. So this one, there's not that much breathing. So At the level of your navel, you visualize, again, a white light. And then you think of it as the white light as your mind. And then you meditate on this for 5 minutes, but today we'll just do it for like a minute. And then, after you meditated that on that white light at the level of your navel, then you say, "Peh," really loudly. And then you imagine that with the power of Peh, that white light that is your mind shoots up through the roof, way into space, way into the outer space, into the sky, whatever. And then your mind becomes that vast space. It's like, you know, on a beautiful day, you might lie down on the lawn and then look up at the sky. Like that, your mind just becomes really vast. Okay? So we're just sitting here in our meditation posture, visualizing that white light at the level of our navel. And we meditate that for 5 minutes, but today we'll just do it for like a minute. And then we're going to say, "Peh," very loudly, and forcing that white light, which is your mind, through the roof, out of Raleigh, into space, and then think that like your mind just went poof up there. Okay? All right. Okay. So here we go. Okay, so visualize a white light, your mind at your navel. pay. Okay, so if that doesn't wake you up, then what else? Okay, so now I'm supposed to talk about the disadvantages of the discriminating mind. So this is a mind that discriminates people as a friend or as an enemy or as a stranger. So these are actual biases that we create. They're habitual patterns of aversion and attachment. But as you know, friends can turn to enemies. In a second, with just one unkind word, enemies can become dear friends, and a stranger can all of a sudden be your best friend or enemy, you know, and all those, the strangers and enemies could, and friends could move away, and then we may not ever know and meet them again. So they would all become strangers. So it's really not a very accurate distinction. So when we think people are the enemy, we believe that they've always been negative, always been hateful, and they deserve to suffer. We might even rejoice when something, they have a problem or things aren't going their way. And then we think that they're that they'll never change because they've always been like that. But even then, usually someone, at least maybe their mother or their father, someone, their dog, might like them. So it's probably not true, you know, 100% that this person is that despicable. So what we do is we just go about and merely label people as good or bad. But they're not inherently bad. And everyone is capable of doing good deeds. So what we need to do, of course, is to separate the person from the action. And we have to try to see, you know, things from their point of view, too. And they say that that anger is a poison and that it disturbs our peace. And that when you have anger, it's like you're taking poison hoping that the other person will die. So it's not a very happy mind for anyone. Now, the benefits, on the other hand, the benefits of equanimity I'd like to talk about that. So every animal, insect, human being, everyone in the universe has the same desire. They all want to be happy, and they don't want to suffer. And everyone has the right to achieve happiness, including yourself, including all people of any race, any religion, nationality, sex, sexual orientation, rank, you know, victims, or the abused, or the abuser, the tortured, the torturer, the boss, the employees, the customers. Everyone has the right to be happy. No one deserves to suffer. So this is universal. Everyone knows that. And often the objects of our attachment are different. You know, everyone wants something. Everyone wants to be happy, even though they might like different things or not like other things, you know. And then everyone has different problems. So by definition, equanimity is non-attachment, non-anger, and non-ignorance. So this is a nice way to think of it, of equanimity is like being the Earth, the planet Earth. You know, many dreadful things that pollute our environment are cast upon it daily, and also on a daily basis, beautiful, healthy things, since delight our senses, also nourish the earth. So the earth accepts them all without any hesitation, you know, and can transform and sustain them all, whether good or bad. So likewise, we too can be like the earth. So we can accept what comes into our life and what goes out of our life. And attachment is the desire to always be right, disregarding the feeling of other people, having fear of our limitations. And so we can be like the earth and take the situations and the beings around us and see that we're all alike. We're all in the same boat. Everyone gets sick. Everyone gets old. Everyone has problems. Everyone dies. And so rather feeling a separation, you know, from others, we can see a connection. We can see that we're interconnected. In fact, you know, it's very difficult, almost impossible, for humans to survive alone. You know, it would be impossible. Just for example, you know, if you were cast away and you had nothing, how would you cope? You know, someone educated you in some kind of survival common sense, you know, methods that you probably learned during your life, so that even if you had nothing, you probably would try to be able to look for some shelter. You know, you wouldn't just sit there and not be able to do anything. You would probably know to go look for water and so forth. But then, you know, how would you survive for years? You know, if how difficult would it be just to make, for example, string or the hole in the needle, you know, or maybe even a needle. It would be so difficult, so incredible how much we depend on others just for, you know, day-to-day living. So we need to see things, you know, in this way without envy, without fear, you know, because we really do live in this community. We are social animals. And Venerable Pema Chodron wrote this beautiful excerpt from her book. She says, "Realize that wherever we go for the rest of our lives, we are always in the middle of the universe, and a sacred circle is always around us. Only with equanimity can we realize that no matter what comes along, we're always standing in the middle of this sacred space. Only with equanimity can we see that everything and everyone that come into our circle have come to teach us what we need to know." So, to expand on that, you know, you can, at the beginning, your circle might be just right here, you know, or the space, you know, this is my space. Some people say, "This is my space. Don't enter it," you know. You know, this is, you know, some people say that. But, you know, just out of respect, they don't want people to touch them. But then you can widen your circle. And, you know, when you're, your comfort zone. And then feel, what does this person, what is he trying to tell me, you know, through whatever. Through his anger, through his complaints, through his praise, whatever. And also not only the person, but the actual situation that you're in. You know, whether it's a lovely day or whether your house is underwater for 10 feet. Well, you know, what is there for me to learn from all this? So, now I'd like to do the, a meditation called Tonglen. Tong means giving, and Len means taking. So this is a practice to give happiness to others and to take on their suffering or their problems. It's an advanced practice. So what it is, basically, is to do this for starting with someone we love, naturally, you know, our friends, our loved ones, and then to proceed to a stranger, giving and taking for a stranger, and then when you're comfortable with that, you would move on to an enemy. So if this is too difficult to do, you can always also do it for yourself. You know, you might think, well, oh, tomorrow I have a very difficult exam that I have to take, or tomorrow I have a meeting with the boss or the board, or I have some difficult thing to do that I have to face. So you might say, well, let me take that, the fear and the anxiety of that I'm going to experience tomorrow, and I'm going to, you know, take all that suffering and then give, you know, all these this happiness, the ease, the peace, and so forth. So you can do it to yourself, but this one is for someone you love, someone you don't know, and for your enemy. Okay, so if you can't do all of it, then, you know, if it's just beyond what you're comfortable with, you can just set it aside and maybe do it when you feel, you know, we're in your place where you could do that. Okay, so you sit comfortably again with your back straight and kind of relax your body and try to stay in the present moment. Right here in this gompa, in this room. You let go of thoughts for the past, future, other places, and so forth, and bring your focus to your breath. And just settle your mind and set your personal motivation. Now imagine in front of you someone you know and love who is suffering. Put yourself in this situation and try to really feel the suffering they are experiencing and how they wish to be free of it. Feel how wonderful it would be if they could be free from all their suffering and problems. Visualize your loved one suffering in the form of thick, dark smoke floating out of their body. As you inhale, imagine taking this dark smoke of suffering into yourself. And when you exhale, breathe out happiness, positive qualities, healing energy in the form of white light. Imagine that it transforms into whatever will bring joy and peace of mind to this person. Imagine that their needs and wishes are fulfilled. Their mind is filled with peace, happiness. Imagine in front of you a stranger who is suffering. For example, you can think of a person in a hospital or in a terrible earthquake. Put yourself in this situation and try to really feel the suffering they are experiencing and how they wish to be free of it. Feel how wonderful it would be if they could be free from all their suffering and problems. Visualize their suffering in the form of thick, dark smoke floating out of their body. As you inhale, imagine taking this dark smoke of suffering into yourself. And when you exhale, breathe out happiness, positive qualities, healing energy in the form of white light. Imagine that it transforms in whatever will bring joy and peace of mind to this person. Imagine that their needs and wishes are fulfilled. Their mind is filled with peace, happiness. Imagine in front of you a difficult person, someone you dislike. They may have caused you immense suffering. We do not condone their offensive behavior, their anger, jealousy, or abuse. Imagine the cruelty, the indifference, the greed that motivates so much destructive states of mind floating out of their body in the form of thick, dark smoke. As you inhale, imagine taking this dark smoke of suffering into yourself. You transform this dark smoke into healing energy and exhale your positive qualities and happiness in the form of white light. Imagine their suffering and the causes of their suffering are dispelled. They are no longer irritable or angry. Their mind is filled with peace and happiness. Okay, and now I'm supposed to talk about how to establish a long-term meditation practice after the session is over. So when you think about all the things that go on every day, especially at work, the various activities of life, Just follow one another like the waves of an ocean. Seems like the hen basket always is full. And our many thoughts, our conceptual thoughts, our stories, are just like the rising and falling of those ocean waves. But eventually, thoughts go back to the place of void that existed before those waves arose. And rising above the sea of your mind, you can become a source of light for yourself and others. Just as we did in the meditation practice. The mind that doesn't leave a trace is true mind, peaceful and calm mind. Just as when you look in the sky, you see a flight of birds going by, doesn't leave a trace. You don't know where they were in the sky. And there are some Tibetan Buddhist lamas. They're called Kadampa Geshes. And one of them gave this advice on how to go about the path to liberation or to enlightenment. And he said these things. Look far ahead, generate a vast mind, don't squeeze yourself. So what that means is, if you look far away, it's like just as you, what you do when you're going to travel to a very distant place. You know, you look far ahead because you know your goal is very, very far and there are problems on the way. So you have this strong determination to go on that trip, to travel on it. So that's look far ahead. And then generate a vast mind means that it's like when you're in kindergarten or nursery and you eventually, you know, want to graduate from a university, you know that you have to go to nursery, kindergarten, first, second, third, all through, you know, elementary school, middle school, high school, and then junior college. You know you have to do all these things. And so you generate this, you look far ahead, you generate a vast mind, think you have to do all these preliminary things. But you think, I'm going to do this. Even if it takes many, many years, I'm going to do it. Because obviously the goal is very worthwhile. You know the benefits. And then the last one is don't squeeze yourself. So that means that even though you know you have to travel very, very distant places and you have many things that you have to do, you don't allow yourself to get stressed out. You know, even though you have this determination to do this, you're still calm and you're relaxed. So that's a way to continue your meditation practice. So now, I'd like to do a review meditation of the last four sessions. Okay? So if you just relax and just focus on your breath going in and out, and I'm going to ask questions, and you try to respond, based on, you know, your studies or your knowledge or what you've done, and then I'll say the right answer. Or what I perceive is the correct answer. Okay? Question one. What is the purpose of meditation? The purpose of meditation is to reduce negative, afflicted thoughts. Question 2. Describe the 7-point meditation posture. You sit with your legs crossed. You hold your hands loosely on your lap. Shoulders and arms are relaxed. Arms are slightly akimbo to allow air to circulate between your arms and body. Your back is straight, upright, relaxed. Your eyes are closed or lightly open to admit a little light. gazing downward, not focusing on anything in particular. Your jaw and mouth are relaxed. Your tongue should rest lightly on your upper palate with the tip lightly touching the back of the upper teeth. And your head is slightly inclined forward. What are the three types of meditation? Review, analytical, and concentration. So reviewing is when you review the topic that the teacher taught. Make sure you understand it. Analytical is when you try to look at that topic from different angles and try to get a experiential understanding. It might lead to an aha moment. And then when you reach that realization, you focus one-pointedly on it in concentration meditation. Question 4, describe the difference between concentration and mindfulness. So concentration is the ability to focus the mind on one object without distraction. Mindfulness is non-forgetfulness of the mind on a familiar object. What are the obstacles to meditation and their antidotes? The main obstacles are excitement and laxity. The antidote to excitement is the forceful method to control the super excited mind, focusing on the breath to calm the mind. Imagine your mental image to be very heavy or small. Reflect on a sobering subject. Check your physical posture. Reduce the light in your room. And laxity, you can do the mixing mind with space practice. Again, check your posture, open your eyes halfway, increase the light in your room, imagine your body full of light, reflect on something joyful, and be sure you get enough sleep. Question 6, what are the different parts of a meditation session? Settling the mind, the motivation, the actual session, and the dedication. Motivation is what makes an action virtuous, non-virtuous, or the unspecified. It is what drives us to perform an action. Dedication is the way to seal and direct the positive energy that we have created, so that it ripens in positive ways in our life and in our world. Question 7. How is meditation different from simple relaxation exercise? Meditation, or the purpose of meditation, is to transform the mind, bringing greater peace and long-lasting satisfaction in life. And relaxation exercises help us to feel better, to be healthier in the moment. And the last question. Contemplate your own meditation practice and the benefits and difficulties you have experienced along the way. Okay, does anyone have any comments, any suggestions? Oh, okay.
What is the difference between concentration and mindfulness again, please?
A concentration is just focusing one pointedly on an object. And then mindfulness, that's just like an awareness, you know, of being, let's see, what were the exact words? Non-forgetfulness of the mind on a familiar object. And I really would love to hear suggestions on how to make, not just for this session, but for all the sessions, something that I didn't do that you'd like to have done, or something that I did that you'd rather change, or maybe, you want to have more snacks or whatever, or we want better snacks or, anything at all. Nothing. Okay. This is an easy group. I want to thank you very much for letting me have the opportunity to share what little I know about meditation. And now I'd like to hand out the certificates. Okay. Is Edma Edwardson here today? Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Jake Jacobson? Here? No. Corey Shaw. Corey? Then I bet Patrick Shaw is not here. No? Okay, I think they were together. Jeff. Jeff's. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Have a good evening.